This is Michael Johnson, and we're here on another podcast from F5 Networks. And I have on the line Joseph Hicks, who's the product manager in web acceleration at F5 Networks. Welcome to the podcast, Joe.
Hi there, guys.
I hear there's a lot of factors that are bogging down IT networks, and it sounds like it's getting worse because, you know, we've got a lot of folks that are really kind of spreading things out to remote offices. There's folks that are working mobile, folks that are working from virtual private networks at home. Is that a proper sort of statement of the problem there?
Well, that's right. There's a number of factors that are affecting sort of IT architects these days, a number of factors that are conspiring to prevent the proper delivery of applications, web applications, and tools to remote and mobile workers. The first, I guess, I would say is that latency is really the problem that occurs with deploying these applications to a number of different locations. There's a lot of different network issues, et cetera, but latency is really the delay that's induced by being far away from the place where the server is. It's all about the speed of light and how you can't really speed up the speed of light. There's a number of factors where data centers are consolidating due to acquisitions and mergers, to cost savings for energy or data center rack space costs, whether it be regulation for Sarbanes-Oxley or HIPAA. A number of factors are causing data centers to consolidate the number of servers and to consolidate number of locations. Users are, of course, becoming increasingly remote or mobile, whether it be your own workers or business partners or outsourcing. You know, more and more people are connecting from home over their SSL VPN or from the outsourced location in India or China or Ireland. There's chatty applications and protocols these days in terms of HTTP and other protocols that really weren't designed for wide areas and weren't designed to be able to send data in an optimized fashion. Another factor is that web content is trying to be fat and fresh, right? In the old days of client-server applications, you wanted to make sure that data was presented up-to-date, up-to-the-minute, and every object was changing. And so when web was first introduced, it was static objects and static content. But then as time went by, we started using ActiveX and Java. And these types of things really just replaced the client-server behavior with web behavior and essentially made a software delivery mechanism for these types of fat content and rich content. So all of these factors together conspire to make it difficult to deliver web applications to remote and mobile users.
Okay, well, tell me about application acceleration and how it works.
Sure. Application acceleration is about improving the performance of business applications over the wide area. Organizations are really striving to manage this traffic to be able to optimize their response times of critical applications, to be able to reduce the bandwidth cost and operational expenditure for wide area data networks, to be able to minimize the effects of latency on application response times, and to be able to match the allocation of WAN resources to business needs.
So tell me a little bit about how application acceleration works. I understand that there's three different tiers.
Sure. There's a number of different technologies that are used in application acceleration. Sometimes it gets a bit confusing. What I like to do is group them into three main areas. The first is network offload, the second is server offload, and the third would be application offload. So from the network offload standpoint, it's technologies such as TCP optimizations with the ability to do selective acknowledgments to deal with packet loss or any kind of congestion on the line, things like sliding window sizes, etc. These are network technologies that enable you to accelerate and optimize applications, especially when there's latency or packet loss. The second would be server offload, the ability to take the common functions that are better served from another specific device that's tuned for that capability off of the servers. You know, Gartner says, let the servers serve. So the servers should be serving unique business functionality. They should be serving unique objects, content that can't be served anywhere. They shouldn't be doing serving repeat functionality. So anything that you can do to offload the servers and let them focus on what they're best at will reduce license cost and reduce operating cost and management and maintenance of those servers. And then the third tier is application offload, using a number of technologies that would allow you to ensure that you can reutilize the browser's cache in terms of storing the data. Technologies such as linearization and other make it so that the application performance and the end user's experience is significantly better.
So how do I know if I have an application that can actually benefit from this technology? How can I tell?
Well, that's the magic. It turns out that most applications can benefit from these kind of capabilities because it's difficult to sometimes understand whether the slow application performance is latency or because the servers are overburdened or because the network lines are dropping packets or the application maybe has a few challenges in writing them. F5 has the capabilities to perform all of these technologies and provide all of these tiers of acceleration in the Web Accelerator product. So in some senses, you don't need to know whether or not these technologies will help. You can understand that there is a collection of technologies. On the other hand, if you hear if you're a network person being blamed that the network is slow, or if you ever hear that users are complaining from remote locations that the application is too slow to use, but users in the same location where the application lives have fast access times. So if you ever hear people say, well, it works great in the home office, in the headquarters, but people in remote offices say that it's intolerable to use the application. Those are ways that you can tell whether or not you need application acceleration.
I want to go back to a term that you had talked about a second ago, static and dynamic content. What's the difference between those two, and how does that make a difference? Maybe you can give some examples, too.
Well, sure. An example of static content and how it's changed more to dynamic content could be seen in a banking website. Years ago, banks just posted marketing information, how to, forms to be able to apply for loans or that type of thing. But now, of course, a lot of people use online banking, so that everything from the logo to the transaction log and the balance of your account all are considered unique and dynamic content. So really, there's not just two categories, static or dynamic content. There's really three categories. There's static content, there's deterministically static content, and then there's truly dynamic data. So from the standpoint of that online bank example, the logo is, in the old days, was static content. It hasn't changed. The logo still hasn't changed in a number of years. Now, just because it's based upon user IDs and session IDs and e-tags, from that standpoint, that data becomes deterministically static. So if you can really identify and understand what data is changing and what data is the same, even across all users, then you can now either cache that data or re-leverage the browser's cache. The idea of what dynamic data is the unique balance or transaction logs or queries as related to your specific information. Sometimes that data can be cached, but more often than not, that data is what's truly unique in dynamic data.
So what are the costs associated with, say, not going with an acceleration solution? What's going to be the downside there?
Well, some of the costs are lost users. If it's an application that's an e-commerce site or a site that serves users that you don't control, if it's an enterprise, low adoption rates of the application, higher business costs for people going around the process, maybe making phone calls to the home office to ask people to process their paperwork, non-compliance, or, again, just lost productivity. Also, higher costs of equipment maintenance and manageability, higher cost in terms of maintaining multiple different data centers, more than you need. There's very many costs at a organizational level and at a technology level.
So what web applications are going to work with Web Accelerator, the product that you just mentioned? Are there particular web applications that work with that?
Well, sure. There's a number of web applications that we've spent a lot of time testing and validating at the manufacturer. Ones like SharePoint, Outlook Web Access from Microsoft, or Oracle Portal, Siebel 7.7 and 7.8, perhaps even SAP, Hyperion, Plumtree, now called BEA Aqualogic, whether it be common off-the-shelf applications or even applications that are a little bit more esoteric, eMatrix, Maximo. We already have capabilities to be able to accelerate those applications. Even if they're not standard off-the-shelf applications, or if you've customized or built this application from scratch, we have the ability to either utilize those first sort of templates and policies to be able to go and allow you to customize Web Accelerator to accelerate these other applications, but you can apply these acceleration technologies to pretty much any application, any web application that that you have in your organization.
All right. Well, I am learning more and more each time we talk, and I'm looking forward to our next conversation, and maybe we can go over some of the finer points of what we've been talking about. Joe Hicks is a product manager for web acceleration at F5 Networks, and we're looking forward again, Joe, to talking with you next time a little bit more on this topic and learning one more. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.